The reading is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good evening, everybody. Shall we open with a few words of prayer? Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your servants that are gathered here. Lord, we come seeking treasures from heaven, not earthly treasures, but your treasures. Will you open our spiritual ears and eyes to your word, that we may be filled to overflowing with the truth of your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wondered whether anybody came last night to the pancake celebration. I hear that there were lots and lots of people. It was really unfortunate that it's a day that I can't manage to get, being a Tuesday. But maybe some of you were able to come along, or if not, that you had a good old gorge last night on whatever delights that you fancied as we approach the season of Lent. Because as Rachel said, we're here on Ash Wednesday because this today opens the season of prayer and fasting that we know as Lent. And Christians have included the symbolic sign of the cross, and we have ashes here. And you may have seen it and heard about it on the news today, as some of the ministers of the church have been in shopping centres and performing those acts around the country. The ashes are made from the blessed palm branches from last year's Palm Sunday. So the tradition of marking the head with the sign has come from the crosses. But the signing of the head in ashes has been going on for a lot longer than Christ. The Ninevites, for example, did their penance with sackcloth and ashes. And we know about that from the book of Daniel. And this has become a dominant theme as Lent, alongside, obviously, the giving up of certain things, sinful habits, and growing in spiritual discipline. And the Bible doesn't actually mention Ash Wednesday, but we do know that it has its roots firmly planted in biblical history. So in Samuel 13:19, I'm not sure whether that's gone on. I can't see it on the screen down here because it's not on. So I think we've gone to, there we go. So Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the ornamental robe that she was wearing. She put her head in her hand and went away. And the reason that she did this was because Tamar's brother took a liking to her, and he couldn't overcome his desire and actually raped her. And she felt unclean and sinful after this act. And immediately after he'd done it, he despised himself and despised her and wanted her out of the way. And she wanted him to do the right thing, but he was not prepared to do that. So she placed ashes on her head in an act of penitence. And the book of Esther refers to Mordecai, who you recall is Queen Esther's uncle. When he heard the decree of the king that had been made, the Bible reads that when Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. And sackcloth is not a nice thing to wear. It's uncomfortable and itchy and not a nice garment at all. Then in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, he tells us that, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes." So there's a long biblical principle. Fasting and ashes are linked to the petitioning of God. And fasting and Lent are synonymous in this period. And we know that people often like to share with one another what they are giving up over the Lent period, either stopping drinking alcohol or giving up chocolate or some other sweet indulgence. But the reading today in the Gospel of Matthew speaks of Jesus' teaching relating to giving to the needy, feeding the poor, for prayer and fasting and injustice. And we couldn't possibly do justice to these topics tonight. So maybe over the period of Lent, you might want to look further at these readings and explore what they mean. So we'll try and focus on a few points tonight. So in verse 6, we heard, "When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." But people often tell each other, don't they, what they've given up for Lent. So you might share with one another, "Well, I've decided that I'm not going to watch TV in the evenings, or I'm going to limit my TV watching to 2 hours a week. Or that I've decided to give up cakes and biscuits." We do tell each other what we're planning to do. But the point that Matthew is making here is that depriving oneself of items like alcohol and chocolate becomes meaningless if we do it with wrong motives, if it's for selfish gain. And this is because sometimes it's the hidden, more subtle reasons why we're telling other people that is the issue here. Because these sacrifices could be about pride. And Satan was cast out of God's presence because of pride. So God is certainly not impressed by our outward signs of self-inflicted deprivation. And so God speaks to us through the words of Isaiah to explain what fasting might mean. In Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 7, "Is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." I wonder how many of us have chosen any of these examples as penitence for Lent. To loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to clothe the poor and needy, to be generous with our own families, our own flesh and blood. Let's just consider for a moment what might happen if we took up these causes. Let's think about the injustice, the chains of injustice, the cause of those that are wrongfully imprisoned around this world, especially the Christians. And we think about Leah Sherubu, the 15-year-old girl that was kidnapped by Boko Haram, that is still in captivity a year on. What if we were to use this time over Lent to email the governments or to get in touch with organisations such as Christian Solidarity Worldwide that look after and fight for the cause of those that are imprisoned? What might happen if we were to do that as a nation? There are parents of children around the world that can't even tell their children that they are Christians because the state schools teach the children to tell if they think that their parents are Christians. So the parents can't even tell the children, and they bury their Bibles. These are some of the things that we can fight for. The least that we can do is pray about these things. But remember that the words of James says that faith alone without works is dead. So imagine for a moment that we used Lent to share our food with the hungry. Now, it could take on the form of perhaps doing an extra meal and taking it round to a neighbour that's on their own, or inviting them round for a meal. It could be that somebody you know is going through a tricky time and would really benefit from you taking a meal round to them. Cooking extra. And of course, we know that we can always give food to the food bank that we run from the church here. Just suppose for a moment that we were to clothe the needy. Those people that might be financially challenged, perhaps people that have had a baby and that need baby clothes, or a mum that needs clothes for herself, or any member of the family. We could clear out our wardrobes. I got home tonight and received one of these things through the letterbox. And I'm sure that you've probably all had these charity bags yourself that you could put a few items in to give to people that need clothing. I'm sure that if we all went through our wardrobes, we'd find enough to fill a shop of all the things that we think, well, I'll just hang on to that because I might lose some weight and I might squeeze into it. But you could put them in those bags. You could give them to people in need. God is asking us to be generous people of God, and that's our mission as his church. That's his plan. In all that we do, we are to be mindful of the words of Matthew's gospel. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. It seems a bit harsh, doesn't it? You don't want to have your good deeds seen by others or you'll have no reward. So why does Matthew say that we're not going to get any reward? Doesn't it encourage other people when we say what we've done? I think we've probably all seen children in need targets on the TV that, you know, they flash up these amazing long numbers and say, we're trying to beat last year's figures. Doesn't it encourage people when they hear about other people doing these things? Well, verse 5 adds this to give us the answer. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. It's the insincerity that is the issue here. And that's what harms our walk with God. It's when we start to boast or to take our own pride in what we're doing instead of looking to God. And God hates pride and boasting because it becomes about ourselves. But if your heart's pure and your motives are right, then you have nothing to fear. But James says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And in verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Isn't it much better, rather than trying to elevate ourselves, that we let God do it? And if he doesn't, he doesn't. And what does it matter if we wait till we see him face to face to get our reward? And Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So when we decide to acknowledge the period of Lent and to give up things or to give things away or to fight for injustice or to cook for those that are hungry or to clothe those that need clothing or provide shelter for somebody that needs it, or we do these things because we want to make a difference in the world, to shine God's light on people. Not for our own glory or gratification, but to point people to the Lord that we serve. If every member of this church was to seek God during Lent, just imagine the great changes that we could bring about with the power of that prayer or that seeking God. The change in the church, the change in the community, the change in this nation. We might see those in captivity set free. We could change lots of things. When we act generously, the glory goes to God, and we acknowledge that none of it is possible without God's Holy Spirit. And you may want to try and keep a journal during this period of Lent and jot down the things that God's speaking to you about, or the things that you see that are a response to the prayers that you've had or to the things that you do in secret. And you might be able to give your testimony of the great things that have happened. And testimony is different to prideful boasting, because the glory goes to God. It's about Him and Him alone. It's not our own selfish ambition. We need to remember these words, that we do our acts of righteousness in secret. We want God to have the glory. So as we close, I'll read the words of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So let us spend a few moments in quiet contemplation now, as we reflect on what we've heard and what God might be asking us to do during this period of Lent. It might be something different every day. It might be the same things for 40 days. We'll spend a few moments in quiet contemplation, and then Solly will lead us in our next song.